Next item on the agenda, moving right along, item 10.
We're going to bring in...
Yes, we need to get Ms. Lusk. Thank you, sir.
While we're waiting for Ms. Lusk, I'll go ahead and load the presentation.
Welcome back. Proceed, sir.
Okay. Today, we are going to have a public hearing, or this item is for a public hearing for adoption of Chapter 4 of AAC 2013-40. And this is to establish and implement a fast-track permitting program and permit application requirements in order to authorize a selection and use of appropriate sites for disposal of dredge material on state-owned submerged lands for projects in Tidewater, Virginia. This regulation is required by Acts of Assembly 2018, Chapter 449. You recall last month we went through some of the background. I'd like to refresh you on a little bit of that, go over the legislation itself a bit, go over some background leading to the legislation, go over one current code section that provides us a bit of a template for this regulation that we've got in front of you today. And I would like to add that prior to the hearing last month, or the presentation last month to request a public hearing, we had held a public meeting on this project back in March, or on this proposal back in March. We had representatives for the seafood industry attend, the local governments attended, and some other concerned folks. The straw man we presented of the regulation at that time was fairly well received. They thought we were headed in the right direction. Following that meeting and the request for public hearing, we've taken this to our regulatory review committee. They've made some changes in the straw man we put together to make the language a little more concise, remove some extra words in there that we really didn't need. We've since also had review by Secretary of Natural Resources and our legal counsel, who made some suggestions for improvements to the draft regulation. And the proposed regulation is in your packet and presented in front of you today for adoption. With that said, what I'd like to do is just go through some of the background here real quickly and then go through what I think are some of the most important parts of the regulation without going through every aspect of it. But if you have a question on any part of the regulation that's in your packet, just let me know. Really, the background here is that, and the reason this is really a bill in the General Assembly and requiring our adoption of a regulation is that the Corps is no longer dredging many of the shallow draft channels in many of the rural locations in Virginia. These are shallow draft channels that are very important for some of the watermen, for local commerce, and access by recreational users of the waterway from public landings and public boat ramps. And so the local governments have identified the need to dredge many of these channels on their own just to take care of the shoaling situations. In many cases, it's not a lot of material. It may just be one small plug at one given site in a bend in the creek, and that's what needs to be addressed, but the Corps has not been doing that. However, as the local governments were looking into this opportunity to take on these projects, the Corps of Engineers identified that sometimes dredge disposal sites are a bottleneck in the review and development plans for a project. And so Delegate Hodges, hearing that, thought it would be appropriate to introduce the legislation, which was on the last slide, that requested us to put together an expedited fast-track process for dredge material placement from the commission. Also, like to point out that funding has been made available to local governments by the General Assembly, administered through the Port Authority, to help fund and get some of these channels dredged. With that said, since the legislation requires us to develop a regulation, we only have permit authority over state-owned submerged lands, and so this regulation is directed at use of state-owned submerged lands for the dredging and placement of the dredge material from those channels. And in many cases, while in many cases dredge material might go upland, it recognizes that when someone applies for a permit, they'd have to identify those sites on the upland if that's where it was going to go. Going back a step here, Section 28.2.1205.2 of the Code of Virginia authorizes a sort of an expedited process for review of dredging sand within the lower bay and using that material for placement along shorelines for beach nourishment. We use that as a sort of a template to guide the development of our regulations. It provided some time frames for review, which we thought were appropriate to use for the fast-track regulation, and it specifies information requirements that would be necessary in the application to get through an expedited review process. And so we capitalized on that code section for this regulation. So with that, what I'd like to do now is just go through a couple, I think, of the more pertinent parts of the regulation. First of all is the purpose. In this case, the purpose of the chapter is to establish the necessary application requirements and review procedures for the trash track permitting of dredging and dredge material disposal sites involving state-owned submerged lands. In this case, fast-track permitting will be available for local governments in Tidewater, Virginia. And Tidewater, Virginia is defined by 28.212.100. We felt it was appropriate to limit this to the local governments that were doing the projects. They would have the resources, and this is for those types of projects where they're doing something in the public interest for their citizens. And we thought it was appropriate to limit the fast-track permitting to local governments in this situation. And again, it's for just the disposal of the material on state-owned submerged lands. We have a number of applicability and procedure section in the regulation. In this case, we'll still use our joint permit application for dredging projects and the associated material for local government projects in Tidewater. We recognize that the dredge material can be used for shoreline placement. If it's sandy material, more often than not, going on beaches is the best thing to do. In fact, there are code sections that direct sand to go on public beaches, but if public beaches aren't available, then it can go on private property. But we also realize that dredge material can be used for habitat creation, development of living shoreline features, and enhancement of coastal resiliency. In this case, we've recognized that coastal resiliency is a big issue, and dredge material can be used as a resource for helping with coastal resiliency projects to help build and protect against flooding and erosion. There wouldn't always be a habitat project, per se, like a wetlands or an oyster rock, but they would protect property. And within the regulation, we recognize that if upland sites are going to be used, we need to know where they're going to be as part of the dredge approval plan, just to make sure that where the material is going upland doesn't cause some other problem. However, those other upland sites might require separate approvals, but that would not fall under the commission's authority. To qualify for the fast-track permitting, again, we use the joint permit application, but we need a request from the local governments to say they want to use the fast-track permit. It's possible we could go through a permit review process that doesn't necessarily have to be so-called fast-track and still get to a decision at the end of the day. But in this case, we want to have specific information going in so that we can meet our fast-track requirements, which in this regulation we've established at 90 days for our staff review. That includes a 45-day comment period by other agencies that we might coordinate with. And it recognizes that after that 90 days, if we have a protest that we could not resolve, we would strive to have it to the commission within 30 days after that 90-day period ends. So some of the specific information we'd like to see in the application to get us through this process very quickly is geotechnical analysis of the material that's going to be dredged, so we'll know how it would behave along the shoreline, where it might be placed, or in the open water environment. We think it's appropriate to have a chemical analysis in some instances. I don't know that this would be required all the time, but in areas where we knew there was a known chemical contaminant, like in certain rivers and creeks in Virginia where we know we have contamination, We might want to see a chemical analysis to make sure we're not causing another problem by distributing that material somewhere else. We'd like to see analysis of the benthic marine fishery resources at the placement site. We'd like to see some information on recreational and commercial fishing activity in the placement site. We need to know a little bit about whether there are some historic artifacts at the proposed dredge placement site. And we'd like to know what the impact might be on other users of the waterway. And this is information the applicant would need to compile and put together as part of the application package, along with an assessment of the environmental impact of the dredge material proposed for placement on wetlands, dunes or beaches, submerged lands, and nearby benthic marine and fishery resources. But we'd like that to include an assessment of any coastal resiliency that would be achieved by the placement of the material along the shoreline or other beneficial ecological services that might be provided by such placement. So that's pretty much the material we'd like to see to get us through this process in an expedited manner for the fast track review. But there are certain instances where we don't think fast track should apply. Not to say that we couldn't review an application for a permit outside of the fast track process, just like we do now for every other project. But we thought it was appropriate to list those areas in this regulation where we did not think the fast track would apply, and that would be placement of material in SAV beds or where the material would flow onto the SAV bed, placement of the dredge material on marsh planting ground leased without the consent of the leaseholder, or placement of the dredge material, except for the case of sand, within 1,500 feet of an oyster planting ground lease without the written consent of the leaseholder, and also placement of the dredge material on sanctuary reefs or natural oyster beds, rocks, or shoals, or where that dredge material might flow onto sanctuary reefs, natural oyster beds, rocks, or shoals. Now, like I said, we could review an application where these resources might be involved, but it would not fall within the fast track expedited review, and it might take longer to work out a plan and figure out how to deal with some of these resource conflicts. And also, lastly, when dredge material is placed along a shoreline that may not be owned by the political subdivision or local government, the application would need to include some authorization from that property owner that allowed the local government to utilize their shoreline for placement of the dredge material. And that could be in any form that they deemed appropriate, but we'd need to have that assurance that they allowed it to go there for the dredging and possible subsequent maintenance dredging of the channel that might occur in the future. So that's a lot here, but those are the highlights, I feel, of the regulation. If you have any questions, certainly be glad to try and answer those. So it's staff recommendation that after the public hearing, unless there's something that you think needs to be changed, that you would adopt this regulation and make it effective June 1 of this year. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions of Mr. Watkinson. Mr. Tankard.
On the area number A here, permit shall not apply under the following conditions. I'm surprised that we don't see tidal marsh included in this, or is it an area that we would not put dredge material?
Well, it can go in tidal marshes under certain situations, and we've seen proposals now, or starting to see proposals in concept of thin layer placement of dredge material on some marshes that are sinking relative to sea level rise or due to subsidence, and the idea is that we can get a little more material on that marsh and help it keep up with sea level rise, that we can perpetuate that vegetated marsh fringe. So there are situations where it could go on the marsh and be beneficial. However, or in addition, we have the Tidal Wetlands Act, which would determine where what can be permitted through use of a marsh. So again, that's use of those uplands, and that would have to be authorized through the Wetlands Act before it gets to us, or it would be deemed activity on a government-owned marsh that would not fall under the Wetland Act.
Thank you.
Ms. Everett?
In the draft preamble, developing oyster reef habitat, the intention of potential placement, is that if it's soft bottom and it would be more sandy substrate to firm up the bottom for then oyster reefs, or what is the...
The idea, and that comes more from how things have evolved on the seaside of the eastern shore, but I think it could happen in the bay side. yes, create substrate on the bottom that changes the substrate and makes it more appropriate for oyster ground development. But on the seaside, we found that much of the oyster resource over there is an intertidal resource, and we have very shallow bays, but the bottom would be subtidal and maybe soft. If you could put some material in there and get it up to an intertidal range, you might be able to produce that habitat for an oyster reef. And in fact, if you recall, last month, when we set this for public hearing, I referred to a 1996, I think it was, dredge material management plan for the seaside, where in that plan we identified the opportunity for oyster rock development on the seaside by placing material in waterways, getting it to a proper elevation, and then being able to put shell or other substrate in that area.
Further questions? I've got a what if. And it's been mentioned to, I think, VIMS before, and it's also been mentioned to the commission. The scenario where you have a marina in a narrow channel, I'll just go ahead and lay it out, for example, in the Pagan River, where the marina owner, because of the shoaling that goes on through there, has to dredge out of there every 2 or 3 years. When directly across, I mean, that creek is not but maybe 100 yards wide, maybe a little bit more. Is there a mechanism in place where the applicant through JPA privately could fall upon this regulation as far as the overboard disposal or on marsh or tidal marsh? Would this allow that or dovetail,
well,
or can it be?
I think the concepts here and the procedures here could be applied to any project. It's just that the regulation itself is applying to local governments and these channels that they would dredge. But if someone had a private project where the material is suitable for marsh enhancement or creation,
which is very important.
Right, and I agree. And they had the permission of that marsh owner, or they were the marsh owner, then yes, I think we could entertain that. And if the types of information that's identified in here is necessary to review, that could be helpful for facilitating that review as well.
Because that marsh over directly across there is deteriorating and is subsiding. They did a number of story in the Smithfield Times about a year ago about pictures, aerials, about this is where marshes were and where the marshes are not there anymore. So
yeah.
Certainly we would not want to pump sludge across there and kill the...
Exactly.
That's you know, obvious.
And a big part of what becomes acceptable, whether it's beach nourishment, living shoreline, thin layer on marshes, is the nature of the material. That geotechnical analysis is very, very key to predicting what can be done with the material and how it can be used for other shoreline or marsh enhancement projects.
Because the bottom line is, if it's not suitable, you pump it over there, and then within 6 months, it's all washed back into the...
That's right. And so you've got to take that into account.
Okay. Any questions, further questions? Ms. Avery.
Do you see this affecting the Virginia Beach SSD project?
I don't, per se, because they've identified upland sites for their material. They have transfer sites and upland sites identified for all of the material. Now, like today, we saw on the Page 2 project, the Lynn Haven entrance channel is all good sand, and it's going on a public beach nearby. So that part of the project, yes, would potentially fall under this review. But most of the SSD projects are further up in the waterway, and they're all slated for upland placement sites anyway. I guess if the city wanted to take a step back and look at opportunities for shoreline placement or overboard use, we could look at this regulation and apply it, but in many cases that's very fine material. Whether it could be suitable for anything, it's unlikely, but it's not to say we couldn't use this regulation to review those projects if need be.
Which brings to another question. How are we going to determine the ethicability, for lack of a better term, of the dredged material? What type of measure would we be
using? Well, I mean, this
looks good, this doesn't look good, that's not quite.
I mean, this regulation, the intent was to identify the process.
Yes, sir.
And the requirements for information so that we could make that decision at the end.
And I
will say that we might see some projects where they're requesting fast track review and they do some analysis, but it just, the trade-offs and impacts are too great to even allow approval of the project, even though it's going through the fast track
process. Well, I just want to make sure that we do have a standard in place so that, as we well know, a local government wants to do a project and we tell them, no, you can't do that project because this is not suitable material, that we have something in place.
Yeah, we'll have to, verify what the impact would be.
That stands the test of Ms. Block's.
Yes. I will say the only standard we basically put in here was sand, and what sand is, and many people say that when you start talking about shoreline placement, sand's easy because it doesn't go very far and you can work with it. Is when we get in these finer sediments and more marginal sediments that it's going to be tougher to identify a project and make sure that there's not going to be some unintended consequence. But that's what we hope to get out of the more detailed review.
Unless it's something that's nice that can work toward living shorelines.
Well, that's true. Like that. And on the seaside, I'll go back to that example. For years and years, that material that's been dredged through those seaside navigation projects has gone overboard or adjacent to marshes on the seaside, and you have remote areas with nothing nearby that could be affected, and so they've helped provide a platform for the marsh to expand, and so it's worked, but that's where we didn't have much conflict.
Right.
That's not always the case throughout Virginia.
Yeah. Further questions, Mr. Fager?
So, and this geotechnical SIF that we're going to go through, how is that going to really play out?
Well, I mean, that's just to tell us how fine the material is, whether it's sand or not, and what you can expect the material. Give you some idea of how the material might behave when it's put back overboard or along the shoreline.
So, Mr. Washington, how many classifications do you think?
We don't, other than sand.
We don't.
But I can assure you as agency head, we will be looking to the best we have at our avail, such as mines, minerals, and energy. Staff like that to be able to give us some assistance down the line. Ms. Everett.
And I know VIMS, you mentioned VIMS is participating in the project. Are there any existing concerns on the proposed process from VIMS? Or
none that's been raised.
They were in a regulatory work group, were they not?
Not the regulatory work group. They attended the public meeting that we had.
Dr. Luckenbach is here if you'd like to hear from him.
Actually, Lyle is here.
Lyle, I'm sorry. Lyle. you're the boss, sir. Lyle, please.
All I'm going to do is give credit to the staff here. They've done a very good job of doing this, been in communication with us. We have a long history, as you well know, of looking at dredge projects and what is the fate of the material. And there's a lot of empirical knowledge went into this, and there's a whole lot of guidelines at the state and federal level that have been developed over the years that we've applied to projects. So this is nothing new. We understand how tight you'd like to be, and we work with Tony and his staff about the definition of sand. It is going to be case by case basis, and we'll be involved in this, I'm sure. You know, if asked, and we'll
yes, you will.
Yes, okay. That's all.
Thank you, Lyle. Appreciate it. Further questions?
I'm good.
Are you good? Okay. This is a public hearing. Anyone here wish to be heard on this matter, pro or con? Public hearing is now closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Dr. Neal to approve, seconded by Mr. Zedrin. Further discussion. I will tell you this, that although we seem to be moving along, this took up about how many hours to develop and work around? Well, I don't want to talk man hours. I just want to talk individual hours because
Several weeks of time over the year, all combined, yes. of staff and.
Bottom line is, we didn't blow through this one. I can tell you that it was really a lot of folks involved.
We had a marathon regulatory review committee to
five and a half hours,
my straw man into the final document you see before.
Five and a half, 6 hours,
yes.
Regulatory.
Mm-hmm.
With how many people are on the table?
Half a dozen.
It's been vetted.
That's lots of Kelsey's time.
Yep. Just on that. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Good work to you, Tony, and everybody involved. Thank you very much. We're moving right along. Anybody need a break? Continue on?
Yeah.
Continue on.